Hey, all you true sons and daughters, I'm John Miller, and this is Locked On Mizzou, your destination for Missouri Tigers football and basketball talk 5 days a week during the season. And yes, I am John Miller, your non-objective Mizzou mafioso. And hey, if you like this show, follow for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or hey, even see if your smart speaker will play the show by saying, play podcast, Locked On Mizzou. And yes, as always, if you want to hear more shows like this, including Locked On Chiefs, etc., well, just go to LockedOnPodcasts.com. Today, SEC Media Days began for basketball, so we'll talk a little bit about Mizzou basketball and the wildly outdated concept of Media Day in general. And also, I've been checking in on Mr. Michael Porter Jr. this NBA preseason as well, and I'll tell you what I think about his game and his chances for success this season. But first, let's talk Mizzou football, shall we? Well, if you listen to a lot of talking head shows or talk radio, podcasts, any of that kind of good stuff, I mean, obviously you should be leaning podcasts. What are you kidding me? But one of the crutches I've noticed lately, and I'm sure I've been guilty of using it a time or two as well, is people will say, well, you know, people forget. People forget this, people forget that. Well, what they really mean when they say people forget is generally they mean, oh, I forgot, and now I'm going to remind you. Well, I'm man enough to admit that I had almost forgotten how close last year's Vanderbilt-Missouri football game was. So close, in fact, that Missouri needed a fourth quarter touchdown to take the win, 33-28. Yes, it's almost, you know, you'd could forgive me, and I think all of Mizzou fans, if they had sort of put that game out of their minds a little bit. Coming off the thrashing of the Florida Gators the previous week, obviously that game is going to stick in your mind a lot more with the tests of time. So, I guess you could say that Vanderbilt last year may have been your classic trap game, your letdown game, whatever cliche you want to use, but honestly, it's probably an appropriate thing to say. And I've seen some people online, not a lot, but they're very loud about their opinions on this, that some of them think our game in Nashville this coming Saturday is a trap game as well. Well, honestly, I just think the God's honest is, while Vanderbilt is, as we all know, the perennial bottom dweller, the perennial doormat of the SEC, and has been for years and years now, for decades. But frankly, this Vanderbilt team is something else. This team is even worse than what you would expect from Vanderbilt. Now, what Vanderbilt does have, they still have their excellent running back from last year, Keyshawn Vaughn. So, again, if you'll recall, Keyshawn gashed Missouri last year to the tune of 182 yards and a touchdown on the ground, and he added another touchdown in the passing game as well. And certainly he's back this year, and Missouri's going to have to deal with him once again. But the thing is, this Missouri defense this season, not only is it improved, it seems to me and my often co-host Blake that we've been really good at making offenses one-dimensional this year. And certainly this Vanderbilt team is far, far more one-dimensional than they were the previous year. Kyle Shurmur, their quarterback from 2018, I should say, he's gone, and he was in training camp with the Kansas City Chiefs. I honestly can't remember off the top of my head if he wound up sticking with the Chiefs practice squad or signing somewhere else, but regardless, the point remains that he was obviously felt, he was thought well enough as a talent that he made an NFL training camp and hung around for quite a spell there. Vanderbilt doesn't appear to have anything close to Kyle Shurmur at quarterback this year. And booing that statement would be the fact that they lost 34-0 at home to UNLV. Yes, the Running Rebels. And no, Jerry Tarkanian was not involved at all. And just to give you an idea, maybe you're not exactly tapped into UNLV football. hey, who could blame you there? Well, just to give you an idea of how dreadful of a loss that is, when you have garbage time at home and you're on the wrong end of that against UNLV. Well, UNLV has made 4 bowl games in my lifetime. I'm a 36-year-old man, and I say my lifetime because that's basically the amount of time that they've been a Division I program. So, yeah, again, that includes 2 bowl games in this millennium, one in 2000 and one in 2014. So they haven't won a bowl since 2000. That's the state of UNLV football. Pretty brutal, right? And yet somehow Vanderbilt managed to lose 34-10 to them. I don't think Derek Mason, their coach, is long for this particular conference. That's too bad. He seems like a good guy. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people online, including people in my email chain, who are joking around. Hey, can't tell if they're joking or not, but one of our many analysts, his people are predicting that Barry Odom will offer him a job next year. Heck, who knows? In the world of college football analysts, it seems like there's no end to the amount of people that can now be on staff, but whatever. We have scholarship limits, but no coaching limits, apparently. But again, I digress a little bit there. You know, people also forget, I'm sure, you'll probably remember if I remind you, that Emmanuel Hall was limited in that game, as he often was last season, and Albert O didn't play at all. So again, a banged-up Mizzou team to some extent, and the good news is, at least offensively, we don't have any significant injuries that I'm aware of. Now, of course, Cale Garrett, that couldn't be a more significant injury defensively, unfortunately. But we'll just have to soldier on, won't we? I just think, though, relatively speaking, again, Rashad Floyd may or may not play this week. We're not sure there at punt returner. Otherwise, so far, Missouri has been pretty fortunate with the injury bug. You know, Kelly Bryant escaped serious injury. That was huge, to say the least. So, again, this Missouri team coming in healthier at this point of the season than I think they were last year against Vanderbilt. And really just two totally different teams heading in opposite directions right now. I mean, Missouri appears to be a program on the rise, and Vanderbilt, well, it appears they're going to have a new coach soon. I hate to say it once again. And, you know, speaking of that improved Missouri defense this season, I thought Ryan Walters, Mizzou's defensive coordinator, had an interesting insight this week. He was basically saying that with all the RPO games, the run-pass option style football that is especially permeated throughout the college game, one thing they're doing a lot more this year is playing man coverage. And the reason for that is not just to stop the run-pass option type play. It's that, well, frankly, as Walter said, Missouri has the horses this year, or the Tigers, I guess would be the better analogy, to actually play more man-to-man defense this year. So that's a good thing. That shows that our personnel's really improved on the back end of the defense, and that's something I've seen. That confirms my opinion anyway. So it was nice to see that old Ryan Walters agreed with your boy there. But more to his point, just the overall defense, the fact that they're able to play that man coverage and also just stay in what has now become their base defense, which is a nickel defense, a third safety on the field, allows that defense to be more diverse. And it also, as Walters pointed out, you don't have to substitute as much on third down. I think that's really important because I did think last year there were times Missouri would go to its dime package a lot on third and long, which honestly, wasn't terribly effective. It really wasn't. Now, in theory, you'd think, okay, I agree with the logic of it and everything, but unfortunately, that dime package, if my memory serves, was not particularly effective. You go back and look at the snap counts, those type pieces, it didn't work all that well. And I just remember it wasn't just that they were giving up gains against the passing game, which they frankly were, but a lot of it, there was also times where the dime package was working against them, where there were times where we'd get, not only were we caught subbing a little bit too slowly, maybe not getting in position quickly enough, or getting a 12-man on the field play, There was also times when teams would run effectively against it. They'd punish those smaller defenders out there. So the fact that we're able to essentially keep our base defense on the field no matter the situation, just I think that's one of the big reasons why Missouri's defense is really improved this year. I absolutely do. And I think Walters had a good point there, and I just wanted to share it with all of you. And with that said, it's time to get to some basketball at SEC Media Day and MPJ. But you know what? First of all, I want to remind all of you that, hey, if you're looking for sponsorship, if you're a small business, especially in this area, I'm telling you, this is a great opportunity for you. Come on this podcast, especially if you're looking for that male demographic, that coveted male 18 to 44 demo. Hey, come on this, come on board with Locked On Mizzou. Hit me up if you have any questions, you want to know about the rates, and I promise you they're very reasonable, especially compared to radio, terrestrial, traditional radio. Hit me up, lockedonmizzou@gmail.com for all your inquiries. And now it's time for that time of year. Yes, it's SEC Basketball Media Days. Yes, could you imagine a more thrilling event than that? Anything more anticipated on all of the sports media calendar? Oh, good Lord. No, seriously, what is the point of this? Why are we still putting ourselves through this? Why are we still pretending like Media Day, Media Days, Media Week, whatever you want to call it? Why are we still pretending like this matters? Why does it even have to be Media Days, by the way? This has to be a multi-day event. I don't know. Can't we just send guys to the ESPN car wash without this whole mirage? I mean, honestly, how outdated is this whole concept? Now, kids, Grandpa Miller's about to start talking here. You know, back in the day, communication was a lot harder. You actually had to pay for long-distance telephone calls. Yes, that was a real thing. And long-distance could have meant a few miles away. That's how we used to run telephones. Incredible, right? Well, I think we've come a long way there at least, baby. But the point is, we no longer have these issues. We have constant communication. Every day is Media Day in 2019. And to prove my point, just start following Jeremiah Tillman and Torrance Watson and Xavier Pinson on Instagram. And you'll find in particular that Xavier Pinson might love a good Instagram live story more than life itself. But seriously, though, in this world, all these guys, they're going to let you know more about themselves voluntarily on Instagram or whatever their preferred social media is. Heck, maybe the kids are into TikTok now. I don't even know what the hell that is, to be honest with you. But just follow them, and you'll get to know what kind of people they are. In fact, you'll probably get more than what you would ever want to know. Instead, we have the traditional media. And we have people like ESPN's Andy Kennedy, formerly of Ole Miss, their old head coach. And he asks really, really insightful, just genius questions that who could possibly have come up with this? And thank goodness we flew Jeremiah Tillman and Javon Pickett to another state for this kind of stuff, right? I wish I had the sound for you, but I didn't clip it. Sorry. Basically, Andy Kennedy was going, you know, Jeremiah, you're such a talented guy, but you got to stay out of foul trouble. How do you do that? Ooh, really insightful, biting stuff there. And naturally, Jeremiah says he's very respectful. Good for him. He's like, well, sir, you know, it's all about maturity. It's all about learning, yada, yada, yada. The most unsurprising interaction I've ever seen in my entire life. Who is this for? I don't understand. Why are we still doing this? What is going on? And just to show how useless all this stuff is, there was this CBS Sports writer the other day that had one of the most ridiculous takes. I mean, just totally uninformed. I'm not even going to bother telling you who the writer is because I am just going to take a big steaming pile of criticism on top of his head. First of all, the guy says, there are a lot of unknowns on this year's Tiger team. Well, that's not totally true. Actually, most of these guys are known. And Drew Smith has played college basketball before. But anyway, I can quibble with even more. Let's keep going. Which will be centered around Jeremiah Tillman, a few youngsters and newcomers, which will fill the floor around him. Well, okay, again, we're fairly young, but mostly it's not newcomers. This is mostly the team other than Drew Smith. But they say this is a do-or-die season for Coach Konzo Martin, who was, quote, fired from each of his first three jobs after 3 years. Wait, what? No, he wasn't. That is just factually the exact opposite of true. I don't think he was ever fired from any of those three jobs. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Now, the Tennessee thing, they did want to move on from him, and they wanted to get Bruce Pearl. That's fine. I get that. But I don't think he was ever officially fired or anything. And frankly, he ends up going, lands a Pac-12 job at California, and, you know, he definitely wasn't fired from there. That's just definitely not true. I happen to know that that's not true. So, again, my point here in sharing that wildly inaccurate information with you is just to point out that the national media doesn't really know nearly as much about Missouri as you and I do, for instance. They just don't. And they just proved it right there. So the idea that we're picked 13th out of 14 teams in the conference is just ridiculous to me. It really is. I don't see how you could even make that case. It's just absurd when you look at the amount of returning production that we have back. Now, I get it on paper, 5 wins in the SEC last year. Fine. Hopefully the injury bugs won't be so terrible this year, that type of thing. But the real thing is Drew Smith, again. Now, the obvious question is, what if this guy was just looked really good at Evansville against non-SEC competition? It's a fair question to have. But here's who I trust on that. His teammates, the other players. Because he's been around this program for a full year now. And his teammates, the guys who have seen him every day in practice now, well, let's just say the word perfect to describe Drew Smith has been bandied about. So, yeah, I'll take my chances with that kid. Again, I don't know if we're going to be as good as maybe some of the advanced numbers suggest, but I'm astonished at how ignorant the national media is with Missouri right now. Not even the national media. Although, just to say, let's say the SEC media, the national media that's supposed to specifically cover this conference. The blind spot with Missouri there is a little bit surprising. But the good news is, hey, you can either complain about it or you can profit off of it, right? See, I'm a trader. That's sort of my day job, is I day trade, okay? Well, right now, Missouri's stock is undervalued. It's time to start buying it. Now, whether that means you pick the over, under, maybe you pick the win totals, maybe Missouri's 100-1 to win the conference. I don't know, something crazy. There's some value in that, too. That's not an impossible outcome. I'm not saying it's likely. I think it's more likely Missouri wins the conference than finishes last. Let's put it that way. And the media has us a lot closer to last. That just shows me that Missouri's wildly undervalued. And at the very least, heck, bet on them a little bit beginning of the season. All right? And don't get mad at me for discussing gambling, okay? It's legal now, baby. The Supreme Court said so, right? Isn't that what happened? Oh, wait, this isn't a politics show. And with that, what better time to transition away from politics and into Michael Porter Jr.? Well, Michael Porter Jr., he's officially back, folks, and my gosh, it's been almost 2 years, hasn't it? Year and a half, 2 years since we saw Michael play in the 2018 SEC tournament, NCAA tournament. Well, one thing that really stood out, if you watch that Florida State game, of course, again in the NCAA tournament, that beautiful pass from Jontay Porter to his brother Michael on the fast break. You know, just one of those sort of almost brother ESP type deals there. A beautiful pass by Jontay. But Michael did not dunk the ball and finish the play as he so easily did as a high school prospect. And, you know, that caused him to say after the game, or maybe before or after, that he was maybe 70% there. That might have been generous, at least with his athleticism from what I could see, because he was the type of athlete that made dunking look ridiculously easy before his injury. And Well, now that Michael is back playing preseason ball in the NBA, real NBA action, which is great to see. Honestly, the only thing I really wanted to see from him was his athleticism. There's really, especially in preseason basketball, especially when you have to expect that Michael has got a little bit of rust around the edges. All I want to see is, how does he look athletically? Is he playing above the rim again? And from what I can see, based on his highlights in the preseason, the answer to that is mostly yes. He's definitely back. Now, is he 100% back? I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure that I see quite the same explosiveness that I saw from him as a high school prospect. But still, though, it looks pretty darn good. I'd say he's maybe 85, 90% there, and that's a long way from where he was a year or two ago. And I'm just really happy for the guy, honestly. I hope it keeps up. And again, talk about a guy who's undervalued. My goodness. You know, Paul Millsap, his teammate. Now, speaking of, you can trust the teammates. Well, I'd really trust a guy like Paul Millsap. He's a veteran player and not a guy who shoots off of the mouth very often. But he said that defensively, mind you, that Michael Porter can be a, quote, terror. And you can see that already. With his size, at 6'10", about, long arms, again, athletic, those arms are going to be a problem. If he puts in the effort, he gets his mind right, starts learning rotations, ooh, he can be an excellent NBA defensive player. And Konzo Martin's talked about positionless basketball a decent bit since he's come here. Well, Porter's the ultimate positionless guy, really. And again, the guy's flying under the radar right now. He's undervalued. Again, if you're the gambling type, I think I saw he was 16-1 to win Rookie of the Year. Hop on that. Really. He looks healthy now. Hop on it. And Denver's going to be a good team, obviously. They were last year. They're expected to be. And if they're going to have a chance at the title, they need Michael Porter to be good. And honestly, if he's healthy, I don't have any doubt that he can be a good NBA player. That's not asking that much from him. It's really not. He's that talented. And he's going to be a matchup problem offensively on the other end, too. He's looking unafraid to shoot that jump shot. He's had plenty of time to work on his jump shot while not playing these last year or two. And also, I don't play fantasy basketball anymore, but if I did, I'd be looking at him in the last couple rounds, too, because right now he's going undrafted. He's the perfect type of, if you're in a fantasy league, as most of them are, that count every statistical category equally, well, he can fill up the whole thing. He can be a guy who can get you a couple threes, a block, a steal, that kind of deal, decent percentages. Man, yeah, for a last round, couple picks there, not too shabby. Not too shabby at all. And honestly, even if Michael Porter didn't go to Mizzou, even if he weren't a Columbia kid, I'd still be rooting for him. I really would. Just a guy who's that talented, who has a chance to be a special type basketball player. I'm just a fan of the NBA and the sport in general, so the more the merrier as far as I'm concerned when it comes to talent. I think basketball is just a better sport when Michael Porter Jr. is playing and healthy. And I think it's a better sport if Markelle Fultz, for instance, if he gets his head screwed back on straight for Orlando and has a big year, fantastic. Even better for the league. I don't know. Call me a Pollyanna, but I'm a positive son of a gun, I guess, and I just like seeing guys succeed, and especially good people like the Porters. I just believe that they're good people, and that I think Michael deserves, you know, he at least deserves a shot at this, right? He deserves to have a healthy back and at least get his chance at it and see what he can make of it. Michael, I'm rooting for you, buddy. That's all I can say. And certainly, I'll be rooting for these Missouri Tigers against Vanderbilt on Saturday. And tomorrow, on this show, I'll give you my opinion on whether or not you should bet on the Missouri Tigers against Vanderbilt. So until then, I'm John Miller, and this has been Locked On Mizzou.